Look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm gonna get him!
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. We broadcast live weeknights. That's Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. I want to thank everyone for joining us all the way from the U.K., from Ireland, Scotland, my goodness, all throughout
Australia,
Western Europe.
Yep. Canada.
Yep. All over the place. And I look like a vampire again. I'm looking at the lighting, of course. But and nonetheless, we also simulcast right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can watch us live and by archive via our YouTube channel. Links to each audio and video broadcasting venue, folks, can be found right there on our website at HagmanandHagman.com. Bookmark that website, as well as HagmanReport.com. There you'll find show prep news information, editorials, commentaries, things that you need to know. And again, don't forget, two separate websites, HagmanandHagman.com and HagmanReport.com. And of course, if you want to visit our store, HagmanReportStore.com. That's where you can find nifty merchandise like this, shameless plug on the coffee mug, or as I like to call it, a purple stick conveyance device. Okay? Purple stick conveyance device. Here we go. Or fill it with your finest Italian espresso, whatever. Are we having a coup over here or something? Okay. We've got Eric here and Joe here having some sort of a meeting.
Yeah, I wanted to share this with Eric here. There's live footage of riot police versus protesters in Anaheim, California after a Donald Trump rally. And I wanted
it's
to see
occurring right now?
Yes, this is live. Right. That's why I was getting this there. It looks like it's the tail end of it here.
We're going to be getting into some of this because this is really interesting. Brad Thor, best-selling author. Now, I've talked to Brad Thor. In fact, he even gave me one of his initial books. I've got a galley copy, advanced copy, and it was really nice. However, he and Beck talking about the assassination of Donald Trump. What's going on with this?
No, he didn't say assassination, but he did. He did hint or imply the removal of Trump without legal means.
Right.
Now, and he left an open-ended question, basically.
Right.
You know, who is going to take him out of office when legal means fails to work?
Well, what he said, and Brad Thor, again, a very best-selling author, he was a member of the Red Cell program team. And if you don't know what Red Cell is, it would be as part of DHS or part of the government, basically a you think outside the box, and you're a member of a team, and you, for example, you storm the Capitol. I'm just giving you an example. You try to infiltrate or overcome the defenses of our system.
Now you have the quote, correct?
Yeah. Okay. Here's what he said. I quote, this is Brad Thor. I'm about to suggest something very bad. It is a hypothetical I'm going to ask. As a thriller reader and lover of my country, with the feckless, spineless media we have, who will stand in the way of Brad Thor and Glenn Beck taking out Donald Trump? Now, understand this. I'm breaking from the quote here. Understand this. Glenn Beck and Brad Thor are good buddies.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So just know that and know the context in which this was being said. And, of course, Brad Thor writes, a very talented writer, very talented author. And I've always liked him and respected him. Anyway, and I'll continue now with the quote. If the media won't expose these dangerous loony bins, what patriot will step up and do that?
If Congress won't remove him from his office,
yeah.
What patriot will step
I'm
up
sorry.
And do that?
Yes, you're correct.
How do we get him out of office? And I don't think there is a legal means. Mm-hmm. I think it will be a terrible, terrible position the American people will be in to get Trump out of office, because he won't be able to do it through Congress.
You know, isn't it funny that no one has addressed the lawless renegade that we have in office right now, that who has overtaken the White House, yet no one talks like that about this, about the man occupying the Oval Office, but yet they'll talk about the presumptive nominee on the other side.
And that, you know, it's marginalizing birthers, calling them crazies.
Right.
At the same time, he did kind of use some similar language when it came to the current renegading chief in relation to the kill list when that came out. I remember one show specifically, but beyond that, you're right. The calls for the lawlessness, the calls for the accountability have been absent.
Yeah, exactly. Well, folks, we have a great show lined up for you today. We have a lot of news information to get into. And, of course, we asked Chance to appear today to talk about survival skills. Because I want to tell you something. We are looking at, and this is my belief, we're looking at a situation where we're at the precipice of some life-changing events about to take place. It could be tomorrow, it could be next week, it could be next month, it could be 6 months from now or a year from now. I don't know when. But we're very close. Your survival skills matter. We get emails saying, well, you know, you never talk about how to do things or what we should do, but you talk about the problems, but not the solutions. Well, we're going to talk about some solutions and some ideas, some information right now. Joe.
We're going to bring Chance on. Chance, the owner of AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Chance, welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Blessings, Doug and Joe. Listen, I just want to say this. You know, we don't approve of these riots in Anaheim, but let's start a riot to the Hagman store and purchase everything that you guys have, all the cups, all the shirts. That's the only riot that we approve of.
Thanks. We're having fun with that. Just and folks, what we do, and we're trying to make this work. And we're, you know what, Chance? I have a newfound respect for you. Okay, in terms of, for example, a coffee mug, okay. The logistics involved in shipping product from, I don't know, from your warehouse to a client. It's a nightmare because, you know, the shipping is prohibitive. I mean, the cost for shipping is prohibitive. It's just amazing.
Yeah, the shipping for one of our mugs is more than the mug.
Which, how do you even deal with that? I guess that's
no, volume matters. But I can tell you guys some stories. I mean, we ship also worldwide, and you can just imagine customs getting certain food products into certain countries like Australia, for example. It is a nightmare. So much red tape. They've held our pallets for 3 weeks. 3 weeks, you know, in limbo, and the poor customer's just waiting on the other side.
That's ridiculous. You know, and it's yeah, we haven't quite grown up yet. We just shipped to the lower 48, and that's it, because we don't. I mean, we're still learning. So this is a whole learning process for us. But we do take Visa and MasterCard now, credit cards, which that was a whole process, too. I mean, talking about nightmares, man. Anyway.
We're going to talk with Chance about some things. And before we went on air, he asked me to, as he does when he comes on the show, he starts off with a prayer.
Yeah, let's
and
do it.
I'm going to say the prayer tonight, as Chance asked me to. So, Father, Lord, we ask you to open up our minds and our mouths and fill it with your will, that your will be done, that as many people that may hear and be changed by your word do so. We ask that we continue to plant the seeds and you water them abundantly. And we ask for all those out there who might be alone, who have problems, who are going through things, for deliverance, for the suffering to end mentally, physically, in any way that it comes. And we thank you for all the blessings that you give us. Amen.
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 All right. Chance from America's Trouble. Wholesale.com. That's right. Beautiful. I'm sorry.
What a beautiful prayer. Listen, thank you so much, Joe, for that. Thank you so much. You know, and you know, I do this, and this is just an idea. You know, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is I say, Lord, I hope you have a wonderful day. And at the end of the day, I say, Lord, how was your day? Pretty rough, I guess. Listen, guys, that's just something I do, but hey. So tonight's subject on preparedness is fire building and fire starting. There's a lot of people out there listening that are campers, outdoor enthusiasts, and believe they have a pretty good idea on how to start a fire, but there's so much more to it, and I just hope you guys pay attention tonight, because I've got some pretty cool tips and tricks that I learned as a scout, as an Eagle Scout even, and through my survival training in the military. So pay attention. Here we go. So tonight, we're going to teach you how to start a fire using several proven techniques, along with some really cool tips and tricks that I've come across. Finally, we'll discuss what items you're going to need to build a life-saving fire for warmth, cooking, and security. So I'm going to ask everyone that's interested to please get a paper and pen, because we're going to cover a lot of material in a short amount of time. Fire starting 101. First three things. Number one, you never know when or if you're going to need to start a fire or what the weather or location might be like. So having the right supplies on hand is imperative. Number two, packing around dry season firewood is not feasible nor very wise. The added weight and bulkiness in your pack will only slow you down and sacrifice valuable pack real estate. So what you need to have is a basic knowledge of gathering fuel or firewood. That's a must. Number three, having those right supplies to start a fire without the knowledge to keep it going for several hours and building it correctly really defeats the purpose. So we're going to tackle some of these issues right now. Let's start with supplies. Go ahead and get your pen and paper out here.
All right.
Number one, waterproof matches, at least two boxes. Number two, a quality magnesium fire starter. Number three, cotton balls. I'll explain this later. Number four, a magnifying glass. Number five, candles. Tea candles are fine. Number six, petroleum jelly, like Vaseline. Number seven, a small tarp. Number eight, at least one pack of Instafire. That's a brand, but there's other brands out there. This, you gotta have that. I mean, it burns on top of water. It's an amazing product. So, you know, I just did this today because Memorial Day is coming up. So this is just for Hagman listeners. Right now, every order now through Memorial Day, everything I just told you, everything I just listed, everyone will receive every item free of charge with any order over $60 now through the end of Memorial Day midnight. So again, the tarp, the candles, magnifying glass, cotton balls, petroleum jelly, Instafire, even the magnesium fire starter, free of charge, with a minimum order of $60. That's not including shipping. That's product's only $60. Now through the end of Memorial Day, that's our way of saying thank you for supporting our veterans. Okay, back to these tips. Okay, let's now talk about gathering
Chance.
Fuel for your fire. Yes, sir.
Could you do me a favor? Could you repeat the offer that you just said about the veterans?
Mm-hmm. So the items that you must have to build a fire correctly were the waterproof matches, the magnesium fire starter, the cotton balls, magnifying glass, candles, petroleum, a small tarp, at least one pack of the Instafire, or brand that's comparable. What we're going to do between now and the end of Memorial Day at midnight, we're going to give that to every customer free of charge with any order over $60. Guys, this is worth $25 all by itself, so it's just a great bargain. We just want to see people get prepared, and it's our way of just saying thank you for all those that have been supporting our veterans.
Well, thanks for repeating that. And that magnesium fire starter, that's like a flint stick almost. It's to create
it's
sparks,
similar.
Correct?
Mm-hmm, similar, yeah. So it's magnesium and a striker. Magnesium burns, guys, around 500 degrees. So you just shave off a little bit of the magnesium, use a ferrous rod, strike it with a knife or with the tool that usually comes with it. Ours comes with the tool, and it will burn so hot it will start any dry material on fire. That's why that's where the cotton comes in.
Okay.
Okay. Now let's talk about these supplies just a little bit, because I'm sure folks are like, did he say Vaseline? I did. What you need to do, once you receive your cotton balls and the Vaseline, you just take your finger, dip the cotton ball in the Vaseline, the petroleum jelly, take it back out, and just kind of knead it into the cotton. Once you do that, put it into a Ziploc bag, put it in your bug out kit, in your pack. When you light this thing, it's going to stay lit. It burns very, very slowly. It's going to stay lit for 8 minutes. Now, when I teach you guys how to build a fire later, you'll understand why that's important. So 8 minutes that will last. Just by doing that one little thing, you've got the perfect way to start a fire.
Okay. And we have to remember that, you know, we're going to be, we're talking about in times of no energy, no electricity. You could be in a damp or moist place. It could be, just imagine being out in the woods, having to go out and it's sprinkling out, and you are trying to start a fire for not only warmth but to cook. This is why these things are so important. And a bug out bag, and Chance offers these at his store, AmericansRubberWholesale.com, has a lot of these items in them. And I would urge people to make sure that this is part of their preparations, because what good is it to have all the food in the world but no means of cooking it?
You're absolutely right. And Joe, we did not have a discussion prior to this presentation. What you just said about the moisture is very important, and that's why that tarp comes into play. Once you do gather your firewood, you're going to need to cover it. The dew in the morning alone is enough to put dampness into your wood, and you do not want to try to start a fire with damp wood, so with a fuel that's damp. So, listen, we're going to talk about gathering fuel. This is really, really important, what I'm about to tell you guys. And this is where a lot of folks who think they have a pretty good idea maybe haven't thought about this. Rule number one, when you're gathering firewood, sticks, twigs, whatever, number one, wear gloves and a long-sleeve shirt or a jacket. Why? Because there are bugs, snakes, insects, all kinds of things that like to hide under those sticks, twigs, and logs. There's poison ivy, poison oak. So if you're covered, you're not going to have these issues. If you're gathering fuel at night, if at all possible, have someone with you for both security and to hold a flashlight. I don't know if you guys know this. A lot of camping injuries are due to someone falling or getting hurt while gathering firewood. And the way it works, you know, they get their arms full of firewood. They can't see in front of them. They trip over a rock, and down they go. So having someone there to hold that flashlight and for security purposes is really, really important if that person is available. When you're gathering about firewood, you want to make sure that this, you're only gathering down limbs. So we're talking dead tree limbs, dead branches, dead twigs, because gathering green wood doesn't make any sense. It doesn't burn very well, and it creates more smoke than it's worth. So in case you're, unless you're trying to start some kind of a smoke signal to get someone's attention, you do not burn green wood. It would probably upset everyone at your campsite. Let's see. So what you need to gather first are your kindling, what we call kindling. They're tiny twigs. Then gather your medium sticks, and you want to write this down. That's a half inch to 2 inches in thickness. And then finally, your logs. Now, when you're grabbing your logs, remember, if it's heavy when you pick it up, it's only going to get heavier as you head back to camp. So always let others know before you go to gather wood and in what direction you're heading in case you get into trouble. Okay, so now I want to talk about how to build the fire. This is really important. We want you to build a fire so it starts quickly and lasts several hours. So the only way that I can have folks understand this is by using the term pyramid. We're not talking about the pyramid that's on our fiat currency, but a pyramid that is hollow inside. So write this down, draw it out. First, what I want you to build is a cone or a teepee-shaped form in the middle of your fire using your twigs. Put your fire starter, for example, those cotton balls we talked about, right in the middle. And then take your largest logs and set those to the left, to the right, to the front, to the back. Two are going one way, two are going the other way. The first two make the second two are an inch or two inside of those two and stack on top of the first two. The number 5 and 6 go on top of those, and it gets, like a pyramid, it gets smaller and smaller as you go up. There's a reason for this. The reason is two parts. One, you have created airflow. Air will enter through the bottom and escape through the top. That's very important for a fire to burn consistently and for a long time. Number two, the reason why you want to use the pyramid is, remember, you have those big logs at the bottom. You can now take your grill or your grate that's in your pack. Once the fire starts to get those nice coals, you can put your grill on those heavy logs. Guess what? You just created a camp stove with consistent heat. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right. So once the fire is burning hot enough to see those coals, go ahead and continue to stoke the fire on a regular interval. Safety issue, never ever throw wood into a fire. If anyone's ever been camping, they've seen that before. You can really hurt someone. So don't ever throw a log or a piece of wood into a fire. Set it in there gently. Guys, if anyone has any questions about this, there's so much more info, but if anyone has any questions at all, please feel free to give us a call, 818-720-0759. I will spend the time with you. I'll explain some different techniques or answer any questions that you might have completely free of charge. All I ask is that you support the Hagmans.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. And, you know, this information, folks, please take it to heart and understand that we really need the basic information. And you know, for people that are stuck in apartments or trailers or mobile homes, I should say, or even homes by themselves, look, this is still, and even people who are impaired, this is information that could save your life. And if you're able to have the supplies mentioned at your disposal, I mean, this could mean the difference between eating and not eating, the difference between heat and no heat.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'm not suggesting, you know, you do this on a 30th floor of an apartment building. However, you can certainly make some arrangements to. I mean, again, you know, you're looking at a situation where it's not the end of the world, it's just the end of a lifestyle, and we have to make some adaptations, and of course, this is how to do it. Wow. Good stuff. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I do have a short prayer request for our listeners. Joe, you and I had a conversation yesterday about Brother Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's my prayer request. Well, first, folks, let me tell you a little bit. I have his permission to share this story. I want to tell you about Brother Leonard because it's sad, but it's encouraging at the same time. This is someone that I've been working with for quite a while that is suffering from PTSD. But this gentleman, this blessed brother in Christ, has such an amazing attitude towards life. And let me explain that. He received $400 a month in disability. He is completely blind in one eye. And because of his financial situation, he actually had to give back his seeing eye dog to the people that gave it to him because he could not afford to feed it. This man eats maybe every 48 to 72 hours, maybe one meal in that amount of time. Mm. But what he said to me, guys, was, I'm not complaining. I am so blessed because the Lord allows me to wake up in the morning, go down to Walmart with my Bible, and preach to others. He gives me the energy, even though I haven't had anything to eat, he gives me the energy to get up in the morning and go down and preach. What an honor that is. Wow. Guys, it touched my heart. And if it's a lesson for all of us out there, I mean, we really shouldn't complain, you know?
We you got said that guys yesterday, like this out. And you're right, yeah. On the money. I mean, we do complain about a lot of trivial things, or things that seem trivial at times. And then you hear something like that, and what we complain about really is shouldn't even be any kind of important concern on the grander scale, especially when you hear something like that.
That's right. That's right. So if all the listeners right now would please just say a special prayer for Brother Leonard, that the Holy Spirit come into his heart and into his life and give him peace. We're doing what we can to help him on our end with the food part, but just pray for peace. He needs it, okay? God bless you guys.
Indeed. Thank you, Chance. God bless you.
All right. All right. Bye now.
Folks, that was Chance from AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, Christian-owned, veteran-owned company. We need this. We need this information. And this will be a routine informational segment on our show. And, you know, some people may say, well, my goodness, I know this. You know, there are so many self-centered and self-centric people out there. Yeah, you might know it, but what about that person that doesn't know it? The emails, some of the comments that we get, well, what a waste of time. Really? Understand that not everyone knows what you know. And if you know it, God bless you. Share that information with others who don't. That's why we're in this situation. I'm going to start off the program here. On Drudge, if you checked it, one of the situations, this is really important, and this is really relevant, okay? On the right-hand column right now, currently on Drudge, on the Drudge Report, nightmare, $140 million verdict against Gawker upheld by judge. And then right underneath it, and here's the money statement. Here's the money headline. Billionaires are allowed to pay people to sue their enemies. You see, okay, this particular article, this particular story, this account is about Peter Thiel, his vendetta against Gawker. And it exposes a side of our legal system that, trust me when I tell you, is being used against people, entities, alternative media to silence them. This is not a new tactic. However, it's a tactic that's being exploited today more than ever before. And because of the social engineered mindset of, and the judicial, the court, the insanity of the court system, everyone should pay attention to this, because once you put yourself out there, and I really want people to understand this, once you put yourself out there, you become a target. And the higher you go in visibility, the bigger target that you are. Now, you may not have anything. You might not. I mean, you might mortgage everything that you got to have a studio or to talk, to get your message out there. It doesn't matter. You see, the legal system is being weaponized by enemies of freedom, enemies of information, by enemies of truth tellers. And this is the most abhorrent and obscene system, part of the system, I've ever seen. But this is a warning to all of you out there. Be prepared when you stick your head up over the crowd and you talk about the truth. Be prepared for the most hideous ridicule, harassment, and when you're really over the target, lawsuits.
Don't you have to do nothing?
No. And it doesn't matter. You see, what's really insane about this, look at Bloomberg. This is a report in Bloomberg today where Peter Thiel, he's a billionaire. He's best known for co-founding PayPal. He funds Facebook. He holds this really progressive ideological view. He's been feuding with Gawker, the website Gawker. I don't know how many people have heard of that.
Heard of it? Okay. Not even right. An idea what or who he is.
Well, so just think of it this way. Let's just say, in this case, all right, I'll go through the article here because this applies. Here is the playbook for individuals who present themselves, perhaps, as conservatives or good guys or good people. They present themselves as people who are really attempting to get at the truth. Yet, they're not what they seem. All right. Let me explain this case. This appears by Joshua Brunstein, written by him in Bloomberg today. The title of the article is Billionaires Are Allowed to Pay for People to Sue Their Enemies. Now, notice this article, the headline isn't suing for damages. No. This is so important because as we progress in time, this is going to become more and more and more common. And folks, if you think you're immune from this, you are absolutely wrong. It doesn't matter if you have a YouTube channel and you do it from the basement of your home or from a corner bedroom. I want to caution you, if you are speaking the truth, you become a target. And when we did surveillance, and I've done 30 years of surveillance as a career investigator, you know, it's always when you are doing surveillance, for example, and you can talk to police officials and officers and agents of various government agencies. When you're doing surveillance, it's not the threat that you see. It's the threat that you never see, or the threat that you never see coming that gets you. Trust me when I tell you that. you might be looking north and 2 years south or 2 years west. You've got a threat. But anyway, in this case here, writes Joshua Brunstein for Bloomberg. He said that one of the weirder court cases in recent memory became even stranger this week when news broke that Hulk Hogan's lawsuit against Gawker was being secretly funded by Peter Thiel. Now, in and of itself, you might say, well, who cares and who are these people and why should I care? But here's the playbook. If you look at this, and I'm sure most people are not talking about it this way. They're looking at merely the news, the headline. But when you break this apart and understand this is the playbook, then you have a better understanding of how you are exposed. And even if you're not out there with your head above the crowd, you can still be susceptible to this tactic. Writes this author, the Silicon Valley billionaire, meaning Peter Thiel, is best known for co-founding PayPal, funding Facebook, holding progressive or libertarian political views, but his long-running hatred for Gawker is no secret either. The outsized influence of rich people and organizations has been top of mind recently. Between Bernie Sanders' critique of modern campaign funding and the controversy over whether Facebook suppresses conservative viewpoints, these are big systemic questions, he writes. Now, by contrast, Thiel's vendetta against Gawker is uncomfortably personal. His beef with Gawker dates back to 2007 when the website outed him as gay. Now, this is in this article. I'm citing this article again from Bloomberg. Hogan's lawsuit, similarly, accused Gawker of treating his private life as news. In this case, by publishing a video of the former wrestler having sex with a friend's wife. It got to throw in the obligatory, you know, sex, right? Anyway, by quietly backing the lawsuit, which ended in a $140 million jury verdict, Thiel has left the impression that his real aim is to put Gawker out of business as vengeance. Now, do you see the picture being painted here? You got Peter Thiel, who's got a real issue with Gawker. They told the truth about Peter Thiel. Now, over here is Hulk Hogan and going after Gawker as well for putting up, publishing a video. But what you have is you've got this billionaire progressive funding the costs for Hulk Hogan. Now, there's no question, writes this author, that Thiel is allowed to pay someone else's legal bills. This, according to Clay Calvert, the director of the First American Project at the University of Florida. But nonprofit organizations often work pro bono for individuals who want to take on institutions with ample financial resources. Now, he's entitled to fund this, and the lawsuit was obviously not frivolous. Hogan won in front of a jury. Okay, that's all fine, well, and good. But the insidious nature of this, and please pay attention to what I'm telling you, apply this template, this playbook, this whole form of all these tactics. Think of you, Mr. or Mrs. YouTuber, or Mr. or Mrs. Article Publisher, contributor to a website, or even maybe you might even have your own website. And you get on the radar of somebody, and you really hack them off. Perhaps they don't have the means to get an attorney or to pay the filing fees at the courthouse to take you to court over some frivolous means. Maybe that's the case. So in comes the real enemy, the person with a real issue. against you, and they fund this lawsuit. And here it is, right from the playbook of the progressives. Now, is it illegal? No, because it doesn't matter. I mean, Thiel can fund whatever he wants, right? Pay his legal bills, Hogan's legal bills. So it's not really a problem, or it's not illegal. But the insidious part of it is this. As you expose the actors, the perpetrators, as you expose certain elements of this progressive liberal Luciferian agenda, you're going to snag the attention of people behind the agenda. And it may be like for example this where Thiel it really hacked off at Gawker because Gawker said, look, he's a homosexual. So and now Thiel's got this real bad, I mean he couldn't get Gawker, but Hogan could. So we're going to fund Hogan's legal bills. The article says that Kelvert, the director of the First Amendment Project at the University of Florida, he said that the ethical questions would arise if Thiel was surreptitiously pushing legal action against a competitor to gain a commercial advantage. Now think about that. All right. Ethical questions would arise if Thiel was surreptitiously pushing legal action against a competitor to gain commercial advantage. But that's the collateral effect. It may not be the obvious overt motive going into it, but the collateral damage, in effect, is just that. Think of it this way. Maybe, again, just hypothetically, Mr. John Smith has a YouTube channel, and he explains something about Benghazi. I don't know. And you've got John Black wanting, or Joe Black wanting to shut up John Smith. But Joe Black doesn't have the means to do so. Well, suddenly Joe Black maybe finds a benefactor who has a problem with John Smith. And what happens? Funding starts. Here, I'll help you. Go ahead and file this lawsuit. Now, it might be without merit, and even if it's without merit, for example, even if it's meritless, the defendant has to, what do they have to do? They've got to fight. You just can't roll over and say, I'm not going to do it, or I'm not going to answer because it's stupid. I mean, my goodness, it's a stupid lawsuit. You've actually got to go out and hire an attorney, a law firm, and that's no cheap date, and put up a retainer, and trust me, you'll never see that again, and fight the lawsuit. Here you have it, as Bloomberg lays out. But I can guarantee you most people are looking at this story as just a Gawker, an entertainment story. No, this, trust me when I tell you, the new media will be, and are currently the recipients or the victims of this tactic. The attempt here is to bankrupt and to destroy the truth teller. Okay, just so you know. And that could happen. So this is an attempt to shut up the people who are spreading the truth. In this case, now it's Gawker. Now you might argue, for example, in this case, it's distasteful, and yeah, I understand that. But look at the tactics. What's important here is not the subject as much as it is the tactics. And I guarantee you no one is going to be talking about this, or no one is talking about this, because you've got wolves in sheep's clothing. You've got these people who are being portrayed as victims, who are being funded, guided, helped, assisted by huge deep pockets. They're not who they say they are, or they are who they say they are, but they're being helped by others. And trust me when I tell you this is going on today, and if you're in the alternative media and you get on the radar of somebody and you hack someone off, just with truth, they're coming after you. They will come after you. Because right now in America, we can say, I mean, the First Amendment is still alive, basically, right? First Amendment hasn't been repealed.
No,
it's arguable.
Not right.
It's arguable, of course, that there are some issues with that. However, you want to shut someone up? This is how to shut people up. This is exactly how to shut people up. And sadly, a lot of people will be shut up because of this. Now, I'll tell you one thing: who will never be shut up from this? I don't care if I have to do this program in nothing but thread-worn sweats in a 71 Ford Pinto. You ain't gonna shut me up. You can take everything I got. I'm not gonna shut up, and I'm not gonna back down from a fight. I can guarantee you that. You see. Writes this man, Amy Adler, in Bloomberg, continuing with this, Amy Adler, a professor at New York University who follows First Amendment issues, says she's torn by the Gawker case in general and the revelation about Thiel specifically. She points to the decision by Hogan's lawyers to change their approach so that Gawker couldn't pay a settlement through an insurance policy. That's all kind of just tangential to me. What they're missing is the act itself. The playbook, the play, the tactic. We have talked about Islam being weaponized. We've talked about the weaponization of language and other things. Now, the legal system, and it's been this way for a long time, but it's not been to this extent. The legal system has been weaponized, and it's being used by progressive, liberal, Marxist, fascist, communist-loving, boot-licking thugs to shut up the alternative media. Hear me. Please, hear me, what I'm saying to you. If you haven't experienced this yourself, in one way, shape, or form, you will. There will be fallout. There will be blood. There will be carnage, metaphorically speaking, of course. No one wins, really. No one wins in this case. It's unfortunate. The article does go into state about how Thiel sits on Facebook's board and the social network, which has been working to repair damage to their image. Well, look who's behind the money. Look behind the curtain. That's what I would suggest for everyone. Look behind the curtain. Because you know something? You can fool us once. Shame on us. Or shame on you, I should say. But fool us twice, and then that's our problem. Shame on us, as the saying goes, as the adage goes. But you see, when someone draws first blood, again, metaphorically speaking, better know what they're doing. I say
very
this,
true.
You know, I say this from a, I say this from a position of knowledge.
And I'll tell you this, you know, you tried to teach me life lessons and things throughout my life, and, you know, just like you when you were younger, didn't want to listen,
mm-hmm.
did things my own way.
That's right.
Learned out, found out the hard way that I should have listened to some of what you told me.
Once in a while, I do get things right.
I'll give you that, yeah. But, so, no, you're right about this, you know, from the legalized litigation, the hate speech, and the climate, political climate we see in this country, it will not be long before speech is limited, before speech will, and I'm not talking about threatening speech that will get you in trouble now.
Right.
I'm talking about
right.
how you feel, your beliefs, your opinions will get you in trouble. There will be a banning of scripture. There will be hate speech that when you say something that, offends a certain group, whether ethnic or whatever the division in society may be, there's going to be a time where the scripture and the word will be illegal. And if you say something that offends one of these special people, you will pay for it.
Yeah, and one thing too that I'm distressed about, and I'm going to speak openly here, is I'm distressed about people who make it a point to insinuate themselves to infiltrate organizations or groups, and you see it all the time. You see it in political forums, survivalist forums. You see it everywhere on the internet. And I'm going to close with this because we're getting close to the top of the hour. You know, my viewpoint is this: the there is nothing to be gained by living merely in a virtual world. All right. For example, you might watch us on through the internet. You might listen to us, obviously, through Global Star. But make sure you have a life too. All right. Don't sit in your home and bite your nails and be afraid, because we know that things are changing. It's not just the climate.
Right.
You know, there's a tension in the air.
If you're scared of getting into a car accident, you know, the car accident hinder you from getting in the car to do what you needed to get done that day.
Right. We are all aware, and I think this is true, that we're aware that we all feel that there's a storm rolling in. We could see it. We could feel it. You know how the air changes as the climate, as the air pressure drops. It feels as though the whole world is on the brink of systemic breakdown. And it's true. No one knows. Many people, they don't know what to do about it. So they turn to alternative news sources. Some people just scratch the surface. Other people don't even scratch the surface. It's all entertainment to them. And I'll just preface this by saying that every generation have had their chicken littles, we'll say, crying out the sky is falling, that, you know. I mean, look at various situations. However, having said that, we have never been in a more dangerous, I believe, in a dangerous environment than we are today. And even listening to Herman Cain today and others, I see a lack of discussion about the substance. And this is not to disparage anyone, but I see a lack of talk about the substance and about the biblical overlay, the scriptural overlay of current events. So what I would urge people to do, and this goes back to what I was talking about earlier, when we look at issues and we look at what's ahead of us, we have to do so with sobriety and also with a lot of common sense and a lot of being rooted, not in fear, but being rooted in the Word. And having said that, I mentioned about forums and such, it'll do you no good to live in a virtual world and get in arguments with people you don't know, because 99% of the time, those people that you don't know are, in fact, people who really are sorry, but worthless. And when I say worthless, that's exactly what it means, worthless. Folks, we're going to be right back on the other side. A little bit of news analysis. And then, of course, at the bottom of the hour, open lines. Taking your calls today, getting your opinions on things that matter to you. Stay right where you're at.
We'll be right back.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.